But right now, geopolitical activities, and we cover those with Ken Timmerman. He's in southern France somewhere. Let's get to the geopolitical events that are unfolding in our world. We've got to focus on Syria. The prime minister defected earlier this week. Aleppo, the battle going there, it looks like the opposition may have fallen to the regime's mighty forces that have come in there. The chemical weapons on the move, an Iranian official visits. Talk to me about all of those as we look at Syria.
Well, clearly the Syrian regime is falling apart. The rats are jumping ship with the prime minister leaving this week. You had Manar Khalas, a top general, leaving last week. Key members of the Assad inner circle are leaving. Others have been assassinated by the opposition. That doesn't mean that the regime is going to fall tomorrow. The fighting in Aleppo has, as you mentioned, turned in the regime's favor because of a massive use of force, and apparently a good deal of assistance from Russia and from Iran.
What about the fact that there are some reports that the sighting of some Russian and Iranian advisors spotted there in Syria by the opposition, reporting that they have been meeting with, and we know an Iranian official did meet earlier, saying that the coalition between Iran and Syria is solid, it's unbreakable. But what about these Russian and Iranian advisors? Are they playing a major role in these events unfolding there?
Well, you know, we're getting this information from the Syrian opposition, and it's very difficult to get, authenticated reports from inside. Despite the $80 billion that U.S. taxpayers spend every year on intelligence gathering, I understand from Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, who's a former director of the CIA, that we don't have any CIA officers on the ground in Syria. And in fact, we don't even have any CIA officers on the ground with the opposition to really know what's going on. I think, by the way, I think that's disgraceful. We ought to have much better intelligence on what's actually happening. Syria has had a long-standing relationship, a strategic alliance, both with Russia and with Iran. I would not be at all surprised to see Russian advisors. This is the kind of thing that they have done systematically over the decades that they've been engaged in the Middle East. Remember, they used to fly Egyptian planes when Egypt was at war with Israel. They have flown Syrian planes in the past. They have trained the Syrian Air Force. They trained the Syrian intelligence services. As for the Iranians, a very interesting event recently, they had a number of so-called pilgrims who were captured by the opposition, and now they're protesting to the United States about that. In fact, it's pretty clear that those so-called pilgrims were, in fact, Iranian intelligence officers, Revolutionary Guards officers, sent to infiltrate, either to infiltrate the opposition or to help the Assad regime. So the Iranians are involved in this up to their elbows. They are really, they have staked in part their own existence of this Islamic regime in Tehran to the survival of the Assad regime. And I think down the road that's going to mean trouble for them.
And in fact, at that same time in that part of the world, the region anyway, United States reportedly helping some of the Gulf states build up defenses against the Iranians and the possibility of the development of that nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
Well, that's right. The U.S. is certainly deeply involved in trying to build a coordinated region-wide missile defense system. But it goes beyond that, Jimmy. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes between Saudi Arabia and some of its supposedly close allies. You have Qatar, which portrays itself as being a more moderate Islamic or Islamist regime. I don't know that that's really an accurate description of the Guterres regime. This is, let's not forget, this is the regime that has been, that created and continues to sponsor Al Jazeera, otherwise known as Jihad TV. So I don't know how moderate they really are, but they're certainly in a, how should I say, a dispute, a family dispute with the Saudis, and they're worried that the Saudis could do to Qatar what they did in Bahrain and essentially move in to quell any kind of dissent from the Saudi hard line. So they're buying tanks. from Germany, Leopard tanks. They're buying artillery, heavy artillery. They're buying all kinds of land, army equipment, land, heavy ground weapons, which normally you wouldn't see in a small country like Qatar. And the inside information I'm hearing from my sources is that this is primarily because they are worried. They're worried about three things. They do not trust the United States to defend them under Barack Obama. Two, they're worried about the collapse of the Saudi regime. And three, they're worried about Iranian adventurism. So they want to make sure that they can take care of themselves. Well, so lots of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yes, indeed. And I almost broke in over you there, but I want to find what your take might be on King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia inviting Ahmadinejad to attend the Islamic summit upcoming a bit later this month. The idea of an Islamic summit, but then bringing in what seems like the fox into the hen house.
Well, I think King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia is very worried. He's getting old. His crown prince recently died. The younger generation of Saudi royal princes are chomping at the bit, seeking to take over. He is worried about Ahmadinejad's popularity in the Arab world. I know that's hard for us to understand in the United States, but Ahmadinejad is in a way more popular outside of Iran than he is inside of Iran. He's seen as somebody who stands up to the United States and is not does not care about being attacked either, you know, through the media or even physically. So I think King Abdullah is really trying to judge Ahmadinejad. He's trying to rein him in. He's trying to take his pulse, take his temperature, and perhaps to hold him a bit closer in the way, as you recall the old adage, hold your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yes, absolutely. Meanwhile, in the Sinai, the new president, the Islamist president of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, and the Egyptian military are involved in trying to weed out and destroy the terroristic activities there in the Sinai. The Bedouins have basically weaponized. They are becoming pretty important as it relates to Iran's regime and the terroristic activities against Israel, but coming this time from the southern border.
I've got to say, Jimmy, the more I read about this particular story, the more I find that important details are lacking. I'd really like to know where the Bedouins are getting their weapons all of a sudden. Wouldn't it happen to be from the Muslim Brotherhood? Wouldn't it happen to be from Hamas? How come after 30 years of living totally at peace with the Israelis, for example, all of a sudden there is a movement in the Sinai that is threatening Israel and is launching cross-border attacks? I find Morsi's, the Egyptian president's so-called crackdown against these Islamists, suspect at best, and I would like to learn more about the involvement of the Egyptian government or the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt in secretly arming them.
Well, what was very interesting to me was that the Israeli government loosened up on some of the restrictions put in place by the Camp David Accords, the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt, and he allowed the military, the Egyptian military, to go in the Sinai. That was not a part of their agreement, but Israel's loosened up some on this.
I understand that, and clearly there was some behind-the-scenes discussion between the Egyptian military and the Israelis to make sure that each other understood exactly what was going on. And the Egyptian military must have given some assurances to Israel that their goals were strictly limited to taking care of this this so-called Bedouin insurgency. But as I say, I think there's more going on here than meets the eye, and I'd like to know where the Bedouins got their weapons and whether the Muslim Brotherhood itself is not involved here.
I did hear a report coming out of Israel that the Mossad and other intel organizations, the military, IDF has a military intelligence community as well, saying that these weapons have come in from Iran into the Sinai. Again, that's not been confirmed, but those are some of the reports.
And it wouldn't be surprising, because the Iranians, let's not forget, have sent weapons to Hamas for 20 years in the Gaza Strip. So it would be relatively easy for them to migrate across that border.
Ken Timmerman, he's the man who covers geopolitical activities for us. He's reporting today from southern France. Be returning to the United States real soon now. Journey's mercies to you, Ken, and thank you so very much for your input in the geopolitical activities happening across our world. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. God bless.